Just got a couple of things to say. First of all, about the weekend away, we really, really, really want to make it possible for everybody who possibly can to get there, and we expect we'll make it possible for people to afford what's necessary. We actually have an offering, which is quite an important part of our expectation for it. It's a very relaxed weekend. Food was perfectly reasonable, and you know how picky I can be about the adequacy of food. There was no plug in our room, no plug on the wash basin, which drove me crazy. Thought I was in Russia or somewhere. But I will take my all sizes plug with me. But we think we're going to be down in the accommodation blocks that are actually on the site, so we don't have that drag up the hill and back down again. And Marion and David will be telling you more about the what we've got planned as we go along. You may have suggestions what we should have planned, which will be great, because at the moment we don't have nothing planned. We're going to put it together as we get there. Pardon?
That means you've got something.
There you go. Yeah, where I come from, the double negative is just an emphasis.
Is it possible to say to people, fill in the form, even if you don't know how you're going to pay, fill it in so we have an idea that you're...
No, it's not possible to say that. You know what Marion's like, she wants to know now. We're assuming there's going to be about 100 people there, and some of you we know will decide the day before that you'll come in. But just for the sake of Marion's sanity and her not banging on about it, would you please put your forms in, even if you don't know how you're going to do it. Okay, that was that. Number two is that in small groups this year, for the first term, we're going to be following some widely used Bible studies from the Bible Society, which are YouTube driven really, because they've put all the material up on there, and we're going to do it in this way. There are about six studies which will happen in the groups between now and the middle of March, and on the last Sunday in March we're going to focus our meeting on celebrating what we've learned, how it's gone, and we're asking each group to provide some sort of input to that. So that is a sort of sword which is hanging over the group leaders at the moment, but we hope they will share that with you, and that by the time we get there we'll have a great response seeing how each of the groups have divided that material out. I think I'll show you the shorter video, which isn't this one, is this one. Now, why it comes out with two of him, I don't know, but we're doing Word Life, and this is Andy Croft talking about it.
You all kind of know you should read the Bible, but often it is difficult to try and get God's truth out of the Bible sometimes, and so I think one reason I'm motivated by it is the fact that Jesus, when he was alone in the wilderness, he'd been there for 40 days and he was tempted and he was naked and he was hungry. The enemy came to him and said, "Oh, Jesus, why don't you turn these stones into bread?" And Jesus' response was, "No, I'm not going to do that, because man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." And there's such a force in that statement that's saying, this is more important than hunger, this is more important even than life itself, because we live by this word. We live by, and what does that mean in our daily life? I think that means it's God's word that refreshes us. It's God's words that pour into our lives and that overflow. And it's by immersing ourselves in that essentially what we're doing is we're immersing ourselves in Him and in a revelation of Him. This is how He chooses to show Himself to us. And ultimately, what the Bible does, it's not the Bible in and of itself, it's what the Bible leads us to, which is God. And it's through His word, somehow the mystery of it, it chooses to lead us to Himself. And so what I've found is, there are certain verses like, "My grace is sufficient for you." that Christians often, we take it and we think, okay, my grace is sufficient for you. But that verse in all of itself is not sufficient. What's sufficient is God's grace. The verse is the thing that leads us on to that. And that's how he's chosen to do it. It's the ultimate authority. And it's worth it, because knowing God is so worth it.
Okay, that's just one small clip from all the various clips that you can tie together as you put your sort of individual small group programs together over the next little while. All sorts of contributors and contributions. There may actually be contributions that you want to show your friends. You can link them to your Facebook page, and you can actually get a head start. If you go into the Bible Society's website, look for Life with a Y, it will tell you all about it. You can have a look at some of the videos. You just have to register, don't have to pay anything. So that is that today, and next week we're going to be doing one-offs in terms of talks. Next week I want to just remind us of how things like cabaret and cafe and fit into our values, where we think God's taking us, how they're fit in with our missional strapline, which is all about living and that sort of thing. Today we're going to talk about a very basic skill, and by the end of this morning what I would like to feel is that we've all got something which will help us better with communicating with God, with praying. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to use something called the Prayer of Jabez. Now, one of the things that really fascinates me about this is that when you get the Bible, you would have thought, if it was an instruction book, it would be crammed full of things like prayers and how to do stuff. Well, it isn't. And I'm not going to get swayed on this, because you know this is what I'm studying at the moment. The Bible is full of stories. And those stories tell you a bit about how people have done it. And some of those stories are very small, and they just give you a little thing about it. Now, this mini story with this prayer comes in the Book of Chronicles. That Book of Chronicles isn't one of the most read books in the Bible. If you're like me, there are some books in the Bible that you need the table of contents for. That's okay. But there are some other ways of doing it. Normally, depends how much back matter you've got in your Bible, but normally if you open your Bible in the middle, you'll get to Psalms. And every time I do it, I don't get to Psalms, I've got to Isaiah in my case. But if you go about the middle of the Bible, you'll get to Psalms. And if you halve the first half, if you know what I mean, you'll get quite close to Kings and Chronicles. Now, Kings and Chronicles, if you ever read them, and I say if you ever, because I bet there are some people who haven't read Kings and Chronicles or haven't connected them, you'll sometimes think you're reading the same story again. But the reason it seems like that is just simply because it was two angles on the same events. The books of Kings, they think, were written for the people who were in exile, had been taken out of their country and put somewhere else. And the books of Chronicles were written for people when they came back again. So there's a different slant on it, a different twist. And in Chronicles, we get this prayer of Jabez. And all we get about him, gosh, the contrast, I knew I was on the edge, but it's worse than I expected. But let me read it to you. Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, "I gave birth to him in pain." Now that sounds a bit gobbledygook, doesn't it? But the word Jabez is like the Hebrew word for pain. So this kid is born and his mother says, "You are a pain." Right? That's it. I've told you before, haven't I? When I was in Zimbabwe the first time, one of the things that struck me was the names that people had. You knew there was something about them because they were really long. And they were names like, we will overcome, we will defeat apartheid, we are willing to die. You know, their names were like that, which is hardly surprising then that it leads to a particular mindset in the place. And I'm not sure, you know, our names should be a blessing to us. Sometimes people's names are a curse. And poor old Jabez, his mum had accidentally cursed him by what she said. Sometimes parents say, oh, you were an accident. Okay? That's a dreadful thing to say, isn't it? You were an accident. But because nobody is an accident. If you read the Psalms, you'll know that God planned for each one of us, knew where we were going to be, knew where we were. We know people, there are people here who have had things say to, people say to them, you'll never be a success, right? There are people who have been told, she's the good looking one, i.e. you're not, you know? There are people who have said, oh, well, this one's the bright one. I can remember something that happened in my own family where I passed my 11 plus. It was an exam which meant that for kids who lived in fairly difficult areas, difficult circumstances, it was the door marked out. And I'm forever grateful for the 11 plus. But my sister and my brother didn't. And the bad thing about that, and I can remember my parents sort of talking about this, and it was one of the few occasions when I realised they weren't terribly happy with something. My paternal grandmother gave me a regular amount of money. It was, guys, for those of you who are still at school, it was 12 and a half pence a week, which was a shed load of money then. It was a lot of money. But I got that money, and I was really pleased with that because that went extra on my pocket money, extra on everything I earned all the time until I was 18, I think, and it still was pretty useful. But my sister never got that money when she came round to the time, and I can remember my parents saying to my sister, don't worry, we will make it up to you. And I thought it was a great thing for my parents to say, that there shouldn't be division on the basis that I was a big mouth and clever clogs and could do the exams. And my sister didn't. She's probably a lot brighter than I am. She certainly considers herself to be anyway. So things that happen to us can curse us. Things that can be can be really difficult. And apart from the basic skill of prayer, one of the things that we've got to bear in mind is that for Jabez, prayer was a way of getting out from under the bad stuff that had been said about him. And this morning, we want you to get out from under. Okay? If you're under anything, by the end of the time this morning, we want to have at least opened up the possibility and given you a way forward. Now, so what happened? Jabez prayed, and he prayed this simple prayer. Oh, that you will bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm so that I will be free from pain. Now, some of you will have another reading of this, but the reading you've got, the other reading, is a deviant reading. There's no consensus about it. And that's because the Old Testament is really quite hard to read at times. And if you've got the New King James Bible, you will have, keep me from causing harm so that I will not suffer pain. But really, there's no good reason for that. I've spent quite a lot of time this week checking on that. When I say we, I'm going to be sharing this session with Carol this morning. And there's a reason for this. One of the things we sometimes do in Dayspring if people are up for it, is actually to get a little insight into the way our personalities work and where our strengths and energies are. Joe has got a tool, it's not like a spanner, it's a sort of a questionnaire kind of tool that shows, it helps you show where your energies are, particularly where you're working. And there are some of us who tend to be over to the red side or the yellow side, the green or the blue, and we're all pretty different. So you've got somebody like Wendy, and you wouldn't be surprised to find that she has loads of green energy, which is caring, encouraging, sharing, patient, relaxed, amiable, that sort of energy. Got somebody like Andy, where he's strong energies around being sociable, dynamic, demonstrative, enthusiastic, persuasive, expressive. That's where Rosie is as well, over there. And there are people who are cool blue, fiery red. Some of us who sort of fit in the middle. And I sort of fit in between the red and the yellow, almost along that line there. And when I'm being responsible for things, I try to be red. And when I'm involved in family life, I'm as yellow as you like. Anybody else can take the decisions and so on and just, you know, go with the flow. Great stuff to do, great test to work on. How many of you have actually done the discovery test in one form or another? Yeah, I've actually got most of your results in front of me here, but I won't go through all of them. Do you know, the only person I know who really uses this is Carol, and that's because she's pretty much the opposite to me. She's over here in the green-blue. And Carol and Dave Sandberg sit in the middle here, as do people like Pete Sims and Ian and Louise Powell, those sort of people round about there. And I thought it would be useful to have somebody who was at the opposite end of the spectrum talking about this prayer to the way I am. And one of the things I admire about people like David and Carol is that they establish a routine and they keep to it. As you know, I have a real problem with routine, you know. Equally, they do have some difficulties, because if their routine gets altered, they're all over the place, yeah? Which is why I think it's better to be over my side than theirs. But I'm so grateful for people who are over this side, people who've got strong blue energy and strong green energy. And for years now, Carol has used this as a sort of routine basis for a prayer. Isn't that true? Come up, without going into the detail, why don't you come up here and tell people. Here's the thing as well. You look at Carol's notes, pages, look at my notes. Here you go. That's the way we're different. But tell us how you use this. Let's go back to the prayer. Yep. How you use it.
I use it, my real prayer time is in the car, going to school or going to work, or actually any time I'm in the car on my own. And what the Jabez prayer is my prayer structure, really, that I pray in the morning. So it doesn't mean I don't pray at other times, but it's the prayer structure I go through in the morning. So I will literally go, blessing in large hand evil. That's sort of my words that I tend to put.
Okay. So that's somebody with a framework, a set of coat hangers, if you like, to hang things on. What happened for me, the reason I got into this was, I think it was on New Year's Eve, as I was sitting down to pray, I thought, I know what we need to do. Let's get some tools, let's get some help to encourage ourselves and stir us up right at the beginning. So here's the framework, bless. Now, what do you think of when you think of blessing? You think of good things happening. Somebody posted on Facebook something which really amused me the other day. And it was about this sort of Arab prince who had written to his parents from boarding school. Was it you?
No.
Yeah, you saw it this morning. About this Arab prince who wrote to his parents. He said, "Dear parents, I am so embarrassed. I go to school in this golden limousine and all my friends go by train. And his parents wrote back to him and said, "Oh, son, we're sorry that you are so embarrassed. Here's £20 million so you can buy yourself a train." Yeah? And for lots of us, and I know that's what blessing is. It's all the stuff. And the Bible actually, part of the Bible, I think, does give reason for this problem, because there's something called the Deuteronomic blessing, Deuteronomic cursing, which you get in Deuteronomy 28. And it goes like this. If you faithfully obey the Lord your God, carefully follow his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on earth. And it will go like, it goes like this. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, the crops of your land, the young of your livestock, calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. The basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Now, that was written a long, long time ago. So what will happen is, you will win the gadget show competition, right? Nathan and I have got a bit of a thing about this. Did I tell you about the gadget show competition? Well, a few weeks ago, we went in for this competition, right? Wendy was out, so we did it. And it only cost, £2.40 or something like that? And we went in for it. But, of course, there's about 10 million other people in the country who do. But this would be, to me, the ultimate in blessing. Right, and Nathan and I divvied up what we were going to have out this 40,000 quid's worth of stuff that would come round in a big white van. There are about 3 bikes, there were a gazillion phones, there was all this sort of stuff. And that, for me, was blessing. Right, which shows you just what a sort of trivial person Nathan is. He wanted the 3D TV. Which Andy wanted to put it in his bedroom, so I don't know how he'd have got into bed if he'd have had that. But I wanted, which tells you where I am in my life, I wanted the electric bike. So I can achieve my goal of being able to go up Black Dog Hill without thinking I'm having a heart attack. But Carol, for you as a more sensible person, tell us, what do you pray for? Which competition do you pray about when you... you're praying blessing?
I don't, because although I'm not mathematical, I can work out that the odds of me actually winning it are very small. So I pray two sorts of blessings in the morning. I pray for me, and I ask for huge blessing, which sounds a bit selfish, but it's not about more stuff. It's about God blessing you in ways that you can't do for yourself. It's about getting that sort of supernatural blessing, the thing that comes sort of out of left field. I also pray for blessing. I'm on the institution, so I pray for blessing on the church.
Institutions.
I'm just about to explain. Okay. Give us a chance. This isn't about for sound, this is for recording, okay? So I pray for the institutions in the sense that I pray for the church as a entity as such, not for individuals particularly, sometimes for individuals, but about finance or if there's something coming up and things like that. I pray for Open Blue as well, that there'll be a blessing on Open Blue. Again, finance and people and volunteers and where they're going and things like that. It's about, for me, because the blessing, it's very easy to say, oh, bless. You know, we say that to people. And blessing, we go and like, Lord, bless me by... I'm very good at that one. Bless me by doing this, this and this for me, like the shopping, this sort of blessing. But really when you're praying with a Jabez prayer, it's about blessing from outside. God, bless me in whatever way you want me to behave today or whatever opportunity you want for me today. That's how I tend to think it. And then a blessing for the church, that things will happen that we're not necessarily doing for ourselves, but it's about from outside. It's about being in God's flow.
If you were translating that you would bless me, given that bless is sort of a sort of nursery rhyme word, what word would you put in instead?
I think I still would say good things.
Okay, that you would.
But
give
it's not
me good
material,
things.
But it's yeah. Good things happening. One of the things I do pray, actually, because I'm really, really bad at it, is actually on the end of it, I say, Lord, help me recognise the blessings that you've sent me today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because sometimes I think God's blessing me out there all the time, and actually I just go my own sweet way and don't notice.
Okay. I think what I would go for is to say, Lord, that you would resource me. You know, that I'd have what I need. Now, let's just try this out. For kids at school, what would blessing be? What would good things, apart from new phones and 3D TVs, what would good things be?
I think for kids in school, it would be about good relationships, because relationships are so important for kids in school, not just amongst their peers, but I think good relationships with teachers. You always get the best out of teachers, really, when there's good relationships with them.
That's true, I guess. I know people who are very close to me for whom whether or not they like a subject is affected by whether they get on with the teacher. Ethan, my grandson, who we were having a Facebook conversation yesterday evening, and I know for him, he will lose interest in the subject if he thinks the teacher doesn't like him. And we know at work that relationships are key as well. There's nothing more miserable going into work where you're in an environment where there's nobody you want to be with. That's a real problem. Let's go on. This is a bit of a strange one, that you would enlarge my territory. How do you deal with that?
It's not about having a bigger house. I could do with a drier house, less risk of flooding, but not a bigger house. Enlarge my territory. I was thinking about this. It's about more responsibility, more opportunities, and things like that. My thing really, because spending quite a lot of time at work and things, is that when I pray about enlarging my territory, I think about it being new opportunities. So it's either a new thing or a new person or a new conversation that you have. That's how I tend to think about enlarging my territory. I don't tend to think of it as being, you know, more space or more whatever, but it's about... just sometimes, I'm not a risk taker. In fact, I am absolutely positively risk averse. Okay, so me going up to somebody and saying, would you like to do this, is actually quite a big thing. So in fact, taking the step with somebody like Santosh to get him to come along to Cabaret was actually quite a big step for me, knowing that he's got, you know, all of the Hindu background, etc., and things like that. So it's about new opportunities.
So in the Carol West translation, what does this read?
Take me places I don't really want to go, Lord.
Do you know, that's a real blue-green response, isn't it, to that, if you know the colour wheel, take me places I don't want to go. Whereas I would translate it, it's Lord, increase my influence. Yeah? That's the way it sort of goes. And I always think about this, and I've kind of written down the wrong reference, so I don't know what it is. But there's this brilliant place where somebody prophesies over Joseph in the Old Testament, and you know how he started off in one country and became sort of prime minister, or at least chancellor of the exchequer in Egypt, where it says, Joseph is a fruitful vine, his branches have gone over the wall. So the restrictions that were placed upon him. Now, you may be somebody who, wherever you are in life, I don't care whether you're 8 or 80 or 18, you may feel there's restrictions being placed around you. You know, some of you may be saying, well, I'm a mum or I'm a grandma or I'm coming to the end of my working life or I've only done this and the limit in my job is this or I'm only gifted in these ways. Those are walls that we put around ourselves. Mm-hmm. And... it is possible to be fruitful so that our branches go over the walls and we restrict the restrictions, break through the restrictions. And you know, I've been praying over the past few days because one of the resources I look at had a series of 6 questions, and one was, what is the one word for you in 2014? And the one word for me in 2014, it came to the top very quickly, was the word breakthrough. And I thought, no, Dave, that's ridiculous. And you've always interested in that word. And I went back and I prayed about it and thought, yeah, breakthrough's okay. That's a good word for you to think about breaking through every restriction, every limitation. People say, oh, we're in a little area. You know, there aren't that many of us. We've got this constraint and that constraint. Well, we don't push against the constraints by ourselves, but by my God, the Bible says, I can run through a troop, run through an army, and I can leap over a wall as well, like a fruitful vine, wherever you are. What's the next one? Let your hand be with me. Tell us about that. How do you pray for that one?
This, your hand, God's hand with us is about the Holy Spirit, about the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And this is probably along with, I pray it through all the prayer, but the blessing and the hand are probably the things I focus on the most, because I tend to think I need quite a lot of help from the Holy Spirit really in life.
Give us an example of help from the Holy Spirit. What do you need? Where would you pray for that?
I had to go out yesterday afternoon because I was becoming paranoid about the level of the water in the field behind me. So I went round and scad lunch off of Dave and Wendy. And I know there's a bit of me that says, I can leave this in the Lord's hands.
She still comes round and gets lunch even when she's not paranoid about the water.
Yeah, yeah, it's not just paranoid.
I'm just saying that because Wendy would if she was here.
Nathan, that cafe was very noisy, wasn't it? Honestly, they're fiddling around under the sink and all sorts of things. we're trying to eat our egg and bacon.
Picture. There's all these people sitting around eating while I'm on my back under the kitchen units, trying to find out where the water's coming from. Such is life, my burdens. Meanwhile, back at the ranch.
There's a bit of me that says, you know, it's in God's hands. We can trust in the Lord, you know, and etc. And then there's the other me thinking, yeah, but the mess, the clearing up, you know what I mean, sort of thing. So I need the Holy Spirit to just reassure and things like that. I often need the Holy Spirit for just getting through the day. I don't know anything else. But really, God's hand being with you in Jabez's sense was that if you are asking for blessing and new opportunities and you're out there and you're doing things and you're out of your comfort zone and you're going places God's sending you where you don't really want to go, etc., there comes a point where you think, oh, yeah, you're on the edge and you're not sure what's holding you up and all those sorts of things. And it all feels a bit pear-shaped, or you've pushed out and now, basically, you've woken up the enemy and he's coming back at you quite hard and things are going wrong. Not everything that goes wrong is to do with the enemy, but some things you just know are. This is about really saying, you know, when you get to that stage where you say, God, you gave me this to do and now it's all going wrong. This is about asking the Holy Spirit to come in, that supernatural element, that he that is within me is greater than he that's in the world type. It's that sort of moment. And that's when really, I mean, I don't pray about really big things because, you know, in schools you don't get that sort of bigger disasters. But I do, cover your ears, Danielle and Tanisha, I do pray against some of the kids, yeah? Seriously, I do pray that the Holy Spirit will bind some of the children and that they will release the power and the peace that comes from the Holy Spirit in my classroom. And I expect my classrooms to be fairly peaceful, unless I'm winding them up, fairly peaceful places. Because I think some kids do need binding in the spirit sort of thing because of circumstances and whatever. So that's really, and it's about praying and then expecting the Holy Spirit to turn up and be involved and help in whatever it is you're doing.
Yeah. Okay, the verse I think of with this is, there's something in Hebrews where it said, we've got a high priest, and there's a throne that the high priest is on, so it's a bit of a mixture, kings and priests and thrones and all that sort of stuff. A place where we can go to find mercy and grace. Grace is help, right? In time of need. Now, in the Old Testament, you can remember when Moses and his people started to travel, they said, Lord, if you're not going with us, then just leave us here. Okay? So that's where the hand of God is. Yeah, Lord, go with us. Let your hand be with me. See, if you're over in the red-yellow thing, some, particularly in the yellow area, you will from time to time take on more than you should. Right? People who are in the green, in the blue, particularly in the blue, very, very careful about not taking on too much. Okay? People over the other side take it on. And sometimes I find that God's not going to give me grace for something. And I have to apologise and say, sorry, I'm stupid, shouldn't have got into that. Now, the trouble is, of course, even things where God would be helping me, sometimes I can think, yeah, well, you know, one of my mottos, if at first you don't succeed, give up, is a way I would tend to treat it. But no, God gives grace for the things he's called us to. So let your hand be with me. We're nearly at the end. Do you handle this as two bits or one bit?
Two.
Okay, and for a New King James interpretation of this text, Carol's going to go with that.
Sorry, fine. When I first started using Jabez, the interpretation and things I was using had keep me from evil and from doing evil, which is why David spent last week looking it up, because to prove that I was wrong, but I thought it doesn't matter anyway. Keeping.
That's a foul calling me, but never mind.
Asking God to keep you from evil, to me, sounds much easier than asking for the strength to endure it. You know, if God keeps evil away from you in the first place. And that sounds really selfish, but it, for me, I feel that if you're asking God to increase your territory, you're asking for blessing and new opportunities, and you're putting yourself out there, then it's quite reasonable to expect God to hold you up and to keep evil from you. That doesn't mean to say that I have a life where it doesn't touch me at all, but it's about it's the real sort of stomach churning evil fear thing that I tend to think that when I pray this prayer, it's not the little frightening-y things. It's, you know what I mean? I don't know. I find it really hard to describe it. Those things where sometimes we all make mistakes in work, yeah, and you suddenly think, oh, that could really come back and bite me on the bum. Yeah, you know, those sort of real etc. And those are often times when I just
this
ask.
This is when she's beaten a child in the classroom.
No, I've told all of Key Stage 3 that the reason I've got this is because I hit a child too hard. I told the senior management and they laugh, so that's fair enough. It's those sorts. But part of the Lord's Prayer says, lead us not into temptation, about keeping us away from evil, from being tempted. When you're tired and you're scratchy and you're not well, etc., it's very easy for temptation to come in and just send you off kilter. And so it seems reasonable to me that when those sorts of circumstances or life's tough, to say, Lord, actually, keep it away from me. Protect me in this. You know, just don't let it come across my path. Seems to me to be a reasonable thing. You know, it's there in the Lord's Prayer as well. It's not something that Jabez came up and put in as a sort of, you know, safety slot. It was there sort of in what he was doing. You know, protection from deception, dangerous misjudgments, the pull of doing what feels right but probably you know's wrong. You know, it's like, I know I shouldn't be eating all of that Christmas stuff, etc., but the pull was just too great, and the delight, etc., and I'm going to pay for it, sort of thing. But that, I mean, that's not evil, but it's those sorts of things where, you know, it feels all right, and so asking God to protect you. And the end bit just seems reasonable. Stop me doing evil to other people. You know, it may or may not be part of Jabez's prayer, but it seems a perfectly good thing to pray on the end of it anyway. Now, if I'm asking God to keep me safe from evil being done to me, it seems fairly good to say, well, I'm as capable of doing evil to somebody else. Try and help me stop doing that. And there are times when something, because if I'm doing evil, it's generally my mouth that's doing it. And I know there are times when I just go, and it's almost as if God goes, nope. Sort of scoops it out of my mouth, sort of thing, just to keep me from, you know, keeping my mouth shut in that circumstance.
Okay. The you've heard from somebody who, although all of us are different, and there are lots of differences in personalities between people like David and Carol who fit in the same sort of segment on here, Carol is somebody who's naturally systematic in what she does. She makes lists and gets in a state if she hasn't finished everything on her list, whereas for me, a list, if you do everything on your list, it just proves you didn't put enough on there in the first place. You know, there's that sort of contrast between one person and another. It's probably, out of all of us, the person who's got the most regular exercise regime. Gets up, I know you don't do it every time, gets up at 6 o'clock in the morning, half past six in the morning to go swimming before work. Now, that is the kind of discipline which yeah, it's pretty weird, isn't it? It's another indication of abnormal. But I was thinking about this. How does this help us in praying? I keep thinking Katrina comes back to mind as she's forever trying to find an excuse and saying that she can't pray out loud. I'm wondering whether this framework, if we can work at it, might actually help. Do you think it would, to give you a framework for praying? Right, don't shrug at me. We'll get on with it. That was a different shrug to an Andy shrug. I just say it. But for all of us, we need some sort of framework. I was thinking about, we're very close to Jade and family, have become our friends over the past months. And on Monday, Jade's heat failed completely, didn't it? Central heating fail, which is one of the things I would really hate to happen. Had it happened on Christmas Eve once, and would not like it to happen again. But it was fantastic that it was able to be back and running, and Wesley had done their job within, 24 hours? Yeah, it was great. But then the following day, find that there's some other problems with the house there. Now, how can this sort of framework help each of us in our difficult circumstances to have some reference point? Lord, how am I going to pray this day? Okay, so here's a way. Lord, I want you to bless me. But I don't just want you to bless me and my kids and give us everything and help us win the gadget show competition. But apart from that, I want you to give me, like Abraham, the ability to bless others, increase my territory. Lord, as well as that, I want to know that your hand's with me. I want to feel your love and your power. I want you to guide me in what I do. I want to see what you're doing and join in with it. Yeah? And then, please keep me from pain and trouble. I know everybody has to put up with trouble, but Lord, keep away those really bad things from me, the things that you don't want, the things that you're not filtering. Okay? Framework for prayer. Now, here's the question. Here's the takeaway. We're going to take 5 minutes on this, and we're going to pray for each one of these things. If you would say, out of these four, and I know some of you are going to say all of them, but you're a member of the awkward squad, so I'm not worried about that, but for those of you who are normal people and can actually focus in on one thing, which would be the biggest of these four for you just at the moment? Is it the harm thing? Is it God's hand being with you? Is it that you get your territory enlarged, that you would be blessed? Carol, what's the big one for you? A moment.
Because it's the one I find hardest, it's probably the territory one.
Yeah. Pete, what would be the biggest for you? Sorry to pick on you. Just a peripheral vision does it for me every time. Not spiritual insight.
Yeah. I think about territory.
Yeah. Because you're over it, actually, interestingly, you're over on the same sort of side, that the pushing out thing for some of us. Brenda, what would be the one for you?
I don't know, but it's quite interesting. But since Carol spoke about this prayer,
yeah,
a little while ago,
yeah,
it's a prayer I try and say daily.
Right.
But I've never interpreted this prayer.
No, well, this is why it's perfectly legitimate for Carol to take a different interpretation of the way she works it from the way that I would work it. Partly personality, partly all sorts of things. It depends who first told you about it.
I tend to also have to tour of peace.
Yeah.
I struggle with what goes on in the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So do you hook into any one of those particular four things, the blessing, territory, let your hand be with me, keep me from harm?
I think blessings, but yeah, blessings for lots of different blessings.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to pray. I'm going to pray through each one of those. And, well, we're going to pray like this. Carol, you pray for people who feel that the thing they're asking God for at the moment is the thing they're focusing in on is this blessing one, and then we'll alternate through. Okay? No, I'll do the blessing, but you, because you want the enlarge my territory one, don't you? Okay, I'll start off. I'm going to do a prayer. Let's pray. Close our eyes for a moment, just so that we can focus in. Who here feels as we're praying that for them the focus is on blessing at the moment? That's what they wanted to ask. Just one, two people there. They're calling blessing. Just three people there. Right, I'm going to pray for you. Lord, there are these guys who, for different reasons, and perhaps ones that I know about, feel that they need your blessing at the moment. They need you to add the resources that they need at this time. And Father, I'm praying resources. Release resources from heaven through other channels. Father, I pray that their eyes will be turned to you for resource, not to any other channel. So great blessing. We pray for all of us too. We pray blessing. Okay, hands up if it's enlarging your territory. That's the thing at the moment. There's some people who've got enlargement there. Carol, pray for these guys.
Father, we just ask that you will take our willingness plus our weakness at being able to enlarge our territory. And Father, add your Holy Spirit and your will to that to make it your territory. And Father, that when we're asking people or talking or going into new situations, that Lord, it will be with our sort of our inner mind actually on where you want us to be and your territory, not what we think it is. So Father, we ask that you will enlarge our territory, take us into new opportunities, new responsibilities, new places. Amen.
Okay, my turn to pray now. Let your hand be with me. Who's that one? That's my big one. I've got two hands up for that one. Let's pray. Father, I know that I can't do it myself, and these guys know they can't do it themselves. Lord, I just sense that there's a bunch of people here who are wanting to press in and sometimes feel exposed and find themselves doing it on their own and looking around and saying, God, where are you? And Lord, I ask you that we will be wonderfully conscious of where you are with us over this next year. And Lord, that we'll see some evidence of it this week. Amen. Okay, final. Who's saying, keep me from harm? Who feels they've had a bit of a curse thing on them that they need to be kept from harm? Yeah, somebody there has just put their hands up for two things. I saw that. That's okay. Will you pray? Yeah, somebody had their hands up for four. Yeah. Carol, will you pray into that?
Father, we just pray that you will keep harm from us. Father, we ask that where the enemy is coming against us, you will bind the work of the enemy, that you will allow the power of the Holy Spirit to flood through us. Father, we know that bad things happen and that circumstances happen, but Father, we pray where the enemy is using things to bring us down and to undermine us, Father, we ask that you will keep those things from us and that by your Spirit you will lift us up. Amen.
Amen. Hope you're staying to break fish fingers with us. As you do, you'll find that the communion elements on the table. Endeavour to share and do make the most of the opportunity to pray for one another as you share the body and blood of the Lord Jesus. So, let's have lunch, guys. Should be ready in about 3.5 minutes.